Or Peter
Defoe? It's not. You're thinking Clive Owen.
Oh, okay.
Wait. What? Who is it? What are we thinking?
I don't know.
I don't know. Huh?
Everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. You can't see Ian doing his Bono pose, but I was impressed with it.
By the way, this podcast is free on everybody's new iPhone. If you've gotten the iPhone and you're going, what's this podcast?
Yes.
It's just a free offer. We're putting it right on everyone's phone, whether you like it or not, a la YouTube.
A la YouTube.
Yeah.
Which also comes in everyone's phone.
That's right. Everyone complains about the YouTube. No one complains about the YouTube. Is that fair?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I guess it is fair. That's fine. Hi, everybody. Let Dave, I'll turn this back over to Dave so we can get the show going. Dave, get the show going.
Well, you should say who you are.
Oh, didn't you introduce me?
No.
That's a little rude.
I said your name, but that's fair. Your first name.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Ian Boothby. I'm the co-host.
There you go. Could you spell your name, please? Desoy. What's your birthday? I just want to make
sure that
you
are. And what's your mother's maiden name? What was your first pet?
First pet's name.
And you know, we're having a lucky credit card draw.
Yeah.
So listen, if your number's lucky, you might win. That's how it goes. I know how this scam goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's episode 149. That means it is one away from episode 148.
That's right. We're starting the countdown.
That's right.
We're going to go
back. Counting down all the way down. No, we've got our big 150th show next week. And what that means to you, the listener, is everybody gets cake.
Yes.
Dave is going to be baking a cake, and anyone who wants a piece, he will be mailing that to you.
Yes. I'm so happy that we're at 150 that I've decided to spend the next 6 weeks baking cakes for people.
Actually, you know what? Probably one of your pies would be better because you are a good pie maker.
I'm a good pie maker, but I think pie is way less mailable than cake.
Do you think so?
About it. Yeah.
I think both are terrible. Terrible to mail, I would say.
Okay, those are terrible.
No, I think both are a horrible mailing thing. If you're talking, maybe arugula would be a nice thing to mail. You know, you could get arugula and
sure.
It would be okay.
A good leaf lettuce would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some butter lettuce.
That'd Speaking of pastries, Dave.
Yes.
Let me give you a little beef about Tim Hortons.
Okay.
Okay. So you're a working man. You're a working man. You get up in the morning, you go get your coffee. You don't drink coffee. But you say you did. You went to Tim Hortons, and then you buy yourself a donut. You go, I want the chocolate glazed donut, which is probably the most popular donut there is. Probably the most popular donut there is, I would say, chocolate glazed donut. So that's with chocolate on top, like on a cake donut. You know what I mean? Like it would be
like a chocolate glaze on it, but not just a glazed chocolate donut.
Well, it's like a regular donut, and on top is that chocolate glaze. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do I have to go across the street, get you one, and show it to you? Because I will.
I'm playing dumb, so I get a free donut.
Here's what happens.
So like a Long John. You're saying like a Long John.
Let's say it's a Long John. That's an even better example with chocolate on it. So so you working man gets your coffee, and then you head back to your car, and you have your sip of coffee to get you going, and then you reach into your bag, and then all the frosting has come off of your donut, and it is attached to the side of the bag.
Yes.
Now, this happens to everybody, Dave.
Yes, it does.
And Tim Hortons knows, and they don't give a damn.
No.
And that's why I say, to hell with you, Tim Hortons. Work on that bag technology.
Yes.
You know, or work on your frosting technology, or do something.
How about
with
this donut placement? If you put it upright in the bag,
exactly.
And then
putting it sideways is the issue,
that's the
Jack.
Problem. Yeah.
How about this? Let me throw this at you. Round bag.
I'm so
Round
glad.
Bag.
I'm so glad that we're finally tackling this issue.
Well, as
149 shows,
dude.
In.
As Canadian. This is a big issue for people.
Yeah.
Now, how about this? How about you have a round bag? Follow me on this.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a round bag. So the bag itself, you put your donut in the bottom, and then there's something that you do, and where you can put your coffee on top of that. Some sort. It's all round, and it keeps it upright, and you can just put it in your car and drive with it, and it'd be fine.
Sure.
How about that?
Sure.
How about we do that, Tim Hortons? How about we don't have all the icing come off in the bag, and then you have to lick the bag like you're a dog?
Yeah.
Like I'm not even gonna say a dog, because a dog licking that would die from the chocolate. But like, even a beast would not lick that bag because it would kill it. But it shouldn't, because it would kill it. A chocolate will kill a dog.
Oh, okay.
Correct?
I thought you meant like even we. Okay, forget it. Because I would lick the bag.
That's right, but you shouldn't. You're an adult man.
Oh, okay.
You've paid for your donut. You should not be having to lick the bag.
Yeah.
Listen, the world of pizza many years ago realized when you were delivering a pizza pie and you open the top, the cheese is all stuck to the lid. The consumers didn't go, "Guess I'll just eat the lid." They went, "Hey," and what happened? We've got the technology of that little stool in the middle. Little that you can then give to your daughter and have her play with her dolls.
Pizza a pizza place in Langley, they put a dough ball.
Seems easier, doesn't it? Yeah. A dough ball.
They just have a cooked dough ball.
Sounds great. Great idea.
It is good because you can eat that too.
Absolutely. That makes total sense. I don't even know why we're doing the plastic nonsense. But they have seen a problem. They have dealt with the problem. Donuts have not dealt with the problem. Get on it, donuts.
Okay, well, while we're objecting to Tim Hortons, I'd like to object to something too, which is what I call the Tim Hortons yield, which is apparently people who go to Tim Hortons have some sort of idea that because they've stopped to get coffee, all traffic should stop to let them out. And the problem with that is that because traffic's supposed to be moving through the light, then some kind and yet a jackass, they're very kind jackass, they'll stop, let the Tim Hortons person out. Then traffic has to start up again, and by the time everyone's rolling again, the lights turn red. And then you end up with this giant traffic jam of cars because of one to three people leaving Tim Hortons. Instead of letting them in when the light turns red, then you let them in.
Dave, are you saying this jelly donutting is getting people into a jam?
No.
Okay, good. Because that would be terrible. Right. That does make sense.
It's just ridiculous.
This feels like we should have a show where we deal with all the Canadian issues.
Don't deal with traffic issues.
Hey, neighbors that don't salt your sidewalk.
Oh, that's terrible too.
Yeah. Here's what you got to do. Salt your sidewalk. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is doing it. Yeah. Shovel your sidewalk. That's one nice thing about our building manager, I'll say for her. Mm-hmm. She's the second the snow is hitting, boom, out with a shovel, clears it all.
Oh, that's
our
good.
Neighbors next door, the party house, you know, the party house. No dice. No dice on that. Can't salt the walk.
Okay, well, I'm going to guess they're renters.
You would guess correctly.
And thus not liable for any damages that happen if someone slips on the sidewalk in front of their house.
Oh.
Whereas the apartment manager knows that her building is liable for damages, and she's responsible for keeping things clear.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, is proactive, gets out there with the salt and the shovel and does what she needs to. Just as I, as a homeowner, get out there and I'm proactive and I salt the steps and the walk to my stairs and the sidewalk in front of my house and the driveway so that people don't slip and fall and sue me, because that could happen.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be liable. And also, it's a good neighborly policy.
No, they'd be able to tap into the sneaky dragon fortune.
That's right. And please don't tap into that fortune.
Please do not.
Please.
That is a dry vein. You tap into that vein, dust is coming blowing out.
Right.
By the way, on a complete side note, if you're in Vancouver or the BC area, give blood. They need blood.
Okay.
Nowadays.
Okay.
I'm on certain medications, which means I can't.
Okay.
So give blood. And please say you're me. And that way I will get the credit. Please just mail me the I gave blood sticker and I'll have like about 10 of those and I'll just wear those on my chest.
I used to not be able to do that, so I don't know if I can now. So, But maybe I can now, I don't know.
Maybe you can. They're really fussy with the old questionnaire. They'll
there's a lot of questions. See, because of the cancer, so they're like, get out of here.
I know that's true, but man, that seems harsh.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it's reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a different astrological sign, it would be fine. But apparently, I don't even know what a cancer is, I'm not actually a cancer.
You really should have looked that up when you had it.
I should have before I made the joke, right?
Yeah. That's fair.
Googled it quietly.
I was just thinking there was prejudice against people with cancer in Canada, and we hate you guys.
There is.
Ugh, look at him.
There's blood. It's a blood prejudice.
No, that's fair. They say it's in you to give. And it's in you to keep and walk away. Both you and I, our blood be not wanted. But there is a need for blood here and probably wherever you are. So, you know, think about it. And
isn't there every long weekend they have the little thing that tells you that there's blood needed?
Probably.
Every long weekend.
But especially right now there is. And look, I don't know about you, but I love a cookie. And giving blood is a good source of cookies. You know, they will give you cookies, and they're the only guilt-free cookies you'll ever get in your life. Anytime else you're eating a cookie, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be having this cookie. Then, when you're having the cookie, you're a hero, man. Enjoy your hero cookie. And I'm like, I will. Good cookie. Off you go. Good for you.
You're right. But I have... Oh, before we just go any farther, let me just say one thing.
Is this an anti-cookie statement?
No, it's not an anti-cookie statement. It's just a mere... Because you mentioned it's episode 150 is coming up. Just want to remind everyone, that's our question episode. If you have a question, we'd love to hear it, but we have a lot of long questions.
Yeah, a lot of what are your 100 favorite movies?
Yeah, that's
a lot of that business. So listen, list lovers.
Yeah, how about yes or no questions? Is what
we're feeling listless right now, so let's ditch the list. Everything else is fine. It's all on the table. I will answer it if it's not anything that reveals stuff about people that I know. Yeah. But about myself, generally, we're both pretty open books.
Sure.
That can be taken out of any library.
That's right. Signed out and then left and not returned.
Yeah, left in a bathroom at a Starbucks. That's what happens to most library books, I think.
It's like one of those, like you used to get like math homework. And the teacher would say, there's only 5 questions. And you'd be like, yes, 5 questions. Then you realize it's 5 questions, but there's like 10 questions in each question.
Yeah.
So it's actually 50 questions hidden in 5 questions. I feel like we've got a lot of that going on.
So ask us a question, but keep it simple.
Please.
Keep it direct.
Yes.
Imagine there's people in
the
line.
We're happy with all the questions. Right. We feel like we're getting... We're running out of time.
Right. Now imagine like we're at a live podcast and you're in a lineup. You're asking a question. There's a whole bunch of people behind you. Mm-hmm. And you start asking a real long one. Everyone behind you is going to start kicking you. And rightfully so. So
very common at podcast. Yeah.
But, and what will the best question win, Dave?
The best question, it's not best question, it's randomly chosen question.
Oh.
We're not going with best question.
Oh, so, okay. All right. We're not a meritocracy.
We're not a meritocracy, no.
Oh,
I think we've proved that by now.
Yeah, okay.
So
we're a demeritocracy.
Every question that we get is going into our regulation prize drawing hat.
Right.
Sneaky Dragon regulation prize drawing hat.
And then we're going to put a ferret in that hat. The ferret will eat every question but one.
But one.
When that question is revealed,
yes.
We will sacrifice that parrot. Mm-hmm. Ferret. Forget it.
And his parrot.
We're going to sacrifice a ferret and a parrot because we don't believe in merit. Oh, Lordy. How's it going, everybody? Anyway, you get the gist. And what do they win?
So a t-shirt, a Sneaky Dragon t-shirt.
Okay, of your choosing?
Of your choosing. You can even go off the book if you want. And if you have a favorite title card that's never been a shirt, you're welcome to ask and see if you can get one done.
And where will people be able to see these title cards you speak of?
Title cards are available on the website at the, I think it's under art? I think it's under art.
Or if you just go to our Facebook page and scroll back, you'll be able to see pretty much
all. If you go to photos, there's a photo album of all the title cards there too.
There you go. So please do that. And if it's possible to make a shirt of it, we will. Some of the images Dave uses are too small. Because what you don't know is a lot of Dave's title cards he does on a grain of rice. If you've ever seen those people, he takes a single mouse hair and he paints these things with it's much harder than it should be. Frankly.
I don't know why I do that.
You've got Photoshop at home. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you don't use it, but he doesn't. He takes out the old jeweler's glass, and man, he works really hard on those things.
Yeah, I do.
Most people just put your name on one of those things, and then and everyone's impressed.
I was going to say that a jeweler's glass is called a luge, but that's completely wrong. A loop. It's called a loop.
Okay.
L-O-U-P-E.
Do not confuse luges and loops. That's another Canadian thing. Please don't.
We'll complain about that later.
All right, sure.
So speaking of podcast festivals.
Speaking of things.
You took part in a podcast festival.
I did.
On the weekend.
Right. I was part of the Caustic Soda Lesser of Two Evils live podcast.
Yes. Your second time?
Yes. I've done one of those before. Mm-hmm. They're always a treat. And it's a... I don't know if it's available yet. I don't think it is, but it's going to be on the Caustic Soda site. Pay whatever you want. If you want to pay nothing and be a jerk about it, that's fine. Okay. Basically, everyone that came to the live show, they said, don't you guys pay because you've already paid to come in here. But I did it with my co-star of the Critical Hit show, Barbara Kaczynski.
Okay.
A comedian named Fatima. Oh, I forget her last name, but she's very, very funny.
I've seen her at the Prop House.
Yeah, and Emmett Hall from the Sunday Service.
Okay.
And yeah, it was a whole bunch of fun.
Sure.
In a sushi restaurant that's pretty good.
Mm.
I'm going to say, Dave.
You mentioned that.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's
pretty
fine.
Pretty good. It's a fine...
Hey, Dave, ask me how the food is
how
there.
How is the food there, Ian?
What's that?
Yeah.
How's the food?
Really good.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Look, just be careful when you order. Sure. It's like, you know how you go to a diner and you order the club sandwich, and the reason
You're talking yourself.
But... I am talking myself because I've done a lot of road traveling, mm-hmm. and at a diner, if you see the food and it looks good, great.
Yeah.
If you're not 100% on board with what you're probably seeing, the club sandwich is where to go because you can remove the bad things and you still have a decent sandwich.
Yeah.
You have to take out the tomato because it's not that good. That's fine. The lettuce looks weird. You still got a nice turkey. You got a little bacon on there. Yeah. I mean, worst comes to worst, you've got bacon and toast.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be fine. And at a sushi place, just order some safe stuff and you're going to be all right,
I guess. What's safe sushi?
Safe sushi would be vegetable sushi, like a cucumber roll.
So you're saying don't order anything that's raw? it's that it could, maybe
yeah you might it's fine I'm sure they're fine it's yeah. fine okay. it's fine but we've got really good sushi in Vancouver and so when you get some that's a little bit rubbery or whatnot you're kind of like really you can't really do that in this city nope, sir it's like opening a coffee shop on a corner and having real crap coffee you can't do it you can't because there's like three other corners and they've all got coffee shops so competition says you go away now
yeah that's true
yeah unless of course you're a front for something. Not that they are. They are not. But other places in town perhaps are. If you've got like really terrible food, maybe that's not how they're making their money. That's all I'm saying.
So
Dave, I'm gonna read the list of some mafia people in Vancouver, if that's okay. If you'd like to do that. Yeah, I'd just like to come clean on some no.
Okay. Now lesser of two evils. Now, how does that work? So you were given a choice between two horrendous possible things.
That's right.
And then what do you do then? You just explain why you would prefer that?
Yeah. Okay. Two historical things that would be terrible or two things that occur in the world. Like okay. one choice we had was getting your arms burned off by sulfuric acid, okay. which is one of the most painful ways to have something burned off because it's very slow.
Yeah.
You know, or to have your arms cut off and sold to a witch doctor who then, this is something that happens in certain parts of the world.
Okay.
They cut off the arms of albinos.
Okay.
Because they're considered lucky, not for the albinos. and occasionally genitals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell those albino parts for luck. So what would you prefer? You know, and not that we're scooping their thing, but if it's not up yet, let's scoop it. Dave, what would you prefer?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that I'd rather have my arms as cut off and sold than have to suffer the extreme agony of sulfuric acid. It seems
yeah. The only drag is now someone's using your arms and has them on a mantle or something. Yeah, for luck.
That's fine. Knock yourself out, buddy. But if you think my shriveled arm or my shriveled dick is giving you some sort of luck,
right?
Good for you. But I would just rather that than laying on the ground writhing in pain.
Well, yes,
sulfuric acid slowly eats away at first the skin, then the muscle,
yes,
then the fat,
yes,
I guess fat, then muscle,
sure,
then the sinews, mm-hmm. and all the tendons and ligaments, yep. and then down into the bone.
Right.
This sounds like it's no fun.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun at all.
No.
Not to be confused with the band No Fun, which is fun.
Which is, that's right.
Quite fun. And here's the other part of that, which is, and occasionally the genitals. You know, that's the other thing you throw into the mix.
Yeah.
You know, and you're kind of like, so well, that, I don't know. That's on the side of the witch doctor, though.
Yeah.
So
that's not the sulfuric acid. You don't get the arms and the genitalia.
No, you just do that.
Sulfuric
See,
acid.
This kind of material is what they do every week on caustic soda. And
wait a second. On the other hand,
yeah.
Let me just think here for a second. Okay. I might reconsider because I hadn't thought of that.
You're going to be on caustic soda in the future, right, Dave?
I am going to be on caustic soda in the future.
You can ask them these questions directly when you're
there. I will ask them directly.
All right.
But here's the thing, though. Now, just thinking, sulfuric acid, just your arms.
That's correct.
The other option, is it just your arms there, too, or is it just your arms and your genitalia?
They weren't super clear. Like, in reality, occasionally the genitals as well.
So you're taking a chance there? Because I'm thinking, like, you know, okay, the extreme agony of your arms being burned off by sulfur.
Yeah.
Still have some working parts.
Yeah.
That are kind of fun to have.
Right.
You can't have any fun with them anymore.
That's one of the problems.
But, you know, there's the thing called friction.
Yeah, you've still got your pie, but you don't have a fork.
No, there's friction. It's okay. But you know, the other one, you could have your arms cut off and lose the fun part of your body. I mean, I know your hands and stuff are fun, but you're losing them anyway. Either way, you're losing them.
Mm-hmm.
If one of them is extreme agony, keeping the junk, I'm kind of thinking extreme agony, keeping the junk.
All right, there you go. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said.
No,
you got to tune into the episode itself. By the way, caustic soda-ers, you've heard how Dave does now in this kind of thing. So there you are. I'm glad to hear that you're doing some podcasts now. You're getting out there and...
Oh, yeah. Two of them under my belt.
No, you've got... you did...
Ink Panthers as well.
Three.
That's right. Three's a charm.
Right.
I would have loved to have come to the show, but unfortunately I was hunkered
down. Not interested.
I was hunkered down.
Oh, okay.
Working on title cards.
I think it was sold out, so...
Okay. I had two title cards to do that weekend, so I was...
Right, you had the Harry Potter one, and then you had the one for Colin Mochrie, the Getting Along Flamishly.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. I like both of them, but yeah. Good job, you.
Thanks.
Once again, on a grain of rice. On two grains of rice. Amazingly difficult.
Because, well, we didn't really get to talk about it, because Colin was here last week, but I went to my high school reunion.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's bring that up.
And so... it was interesting because I had...
Now, this is your 60th reunion.
This is my 60th reunion, that's right.
Okay.
Thank you. I am remarkably well preserved. At this point, let's just say that, because what the hell?
Right. My mom actually went to her 50th reunion. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
And that was a schoolhouse that I think held 20 people.
Oh.
And they had 9 show up.
That's pretty good.
That is good living.
That's good odds there.
Yeah, that's New Brunswick. Yeah, good for them.
We had... I think we had 11 or 12 people who have passed on.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little memorial place in the reunion with their grad photos, so people could say, did they go to school with me? I don't quite remember that. But
seems wrong.
It does. It is. It was a big school. That was a problem. Like,
yeah, of course. That's just odd.
There was three feeder junior highs that went into this one gigantic senior high school. So it seems like even there. And
here's the sad thing. If you actually went there and they had like the in memoriam wall.
Yeah.
And no one was on it, you would think we all must be gods.
That's right. We're incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a guy there that he died a week after graduating in a car accident.
Oh, damn it.
That seems unfair.
Oh, well, most of them are unfair.
But kind of silly. It was kind of he was driving too quickly and smashed into a telephone pole.
Yeah, but that's, you're a dumb kid. You should be able to get away
with it. Yeah, you should be able to get away with it.
Like, you're supposed to, like, you
Where's
see,
the elasticity in that case?
Absolutely. You should be able to bounce out of that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. It's like you see babies fall down. You go like, well, that's the end of that baby. But no, they just walk it off because babies can do it.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
So I had agreed to do the badges for it. Which I find kind of fun to do. We just take the old grad photos from 30 years ago.
Right.
Or 60 years ago.
And then you recreate them on grains of rice.
I recreate them. No, I just put the picture right onto a badge so that people can look at your badge and go, oh, you look like that. That's you then.
Yeah, and all the women that had work done feel awkward.
Really obvious.
Because, like, clear.
A lot of Botox.
Yeah, yeah. That nose had...
That's funny.
Didn't show up.
She can't smile.
Oh.
Face kind of swollen. I didn't notice that. There may have been, but...
I think there were some new noses at the grad I went to.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Did you go to your 10th?
I went to my 10th.
That's the worst one.
Why do you say that?
Well, because, A, everyone's still in their 20s, so they're all still drinking like maniacs. So you have that element to it. So right. There's a lot of inappropriate
You haven't
drinking.
Really done anything yet.
You haven't done anything yet, but you don't want people to know that.
Okay.
So you have there's a front you're putting up, right? You're coming in there and you're like, this is me. I'm going to be this person, and I'm going to show everyone, you know, that this is what they missed out on. In order to really prove it, I'm going to get super drunk and get really obnoxious and then throw up later on in the hedge outside.
Okay.
Which, that's your 10-year reunion. That's
or maybe hook up with someone and go to the hotel upstairs.
That can happen, too. That can happen,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's probably – it'd be interesting to do checkout the next morning, be running that desk and just see the weirdness of people coming down. Like,
the awkwardness.
Ooh, hi, yeah.
I think if you did that, it's better just to cut out, like right away, like right after you finished.
Really? Hop off the balcony into the pool?
Hop off the jump out. That's right. There's this classic...
Well, that's a nice way to clean yourself up.
This is one of my favorite stories. I may have told it before. Have I told the story about the guy? It was an article I read in Atlantic Magazine about this guy who ran a cleaning company that would clean up from the deceased.
No, go please tell.
Okay, well, I'm just going to interrupt my grad reunion with this story.
Okay.
So this guy, he decided he's going to start up a company, and because legally you can't clean up, like if someone dies or there's a lot of blood, legally you can't clean that up. Someone has to come in and clean it up in an environmentally safe way.
Right, you're not just allowed to bring a bunch of neighborhood dogs in.
Mop it up and just...
Yeah, just
you
like
know,
let the crows take care of it.
That's right. Open your windows and just let scavenger carry in various rats and things to carry off this deceased.
Eventually, take care of itself.
It all works out.
Nature's got a plan.
Sure, it does.
But no, the government says you've got to like pony up the dough, and Johnny Crow is sitting on his branch going, come on,
this is
all I do.
My job. Just drag him outside. But, you know, because there's an incredible amount of bodily fluid if a person dies in a certain way. There's an incredible...
Especially after they've been drinking at grad.
Just to even go further off the story, my brother, he had a friend who worked for a carpet company, and he was called in to do an insurance evaluation, but it's not the word I'm looking for. But you know what I mean? Insurance...
We got it.
Appraisal.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
And so he went into this house.
An insurance thingamabob.
And he asked my brother to come because they were going to go to the bar after. So they stopped into this place. And what happened was this was a couple, and they had been killed by drug dealers because they had snitched on them. Okay. And so these people came. And
so wait, you're saying that people in crime will kill you if you snitch?
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't do that mafia thing I was going to do earlier.
Not just them.
Let me just cross that off.
Not just them. They killed every one of their importers across Canada, even though only one of these people had snitched on them.
Do you know what I'm going to say? I'm betting that there's not a lot of podcast murders. No. You know what? This is a pretty safe industry to be in.
Yeah.
Drug dealing, not as great.
Not so safe. And not these people weren't even drug dealers. They were just importing the cocaine for someone else.
Yeah. Well.
They got caught. They turned.
Yeah.
And then they turned blue. But so they went.
Boo. Boo to crime.
So then my brother and his friend went to this house. And my brother's not a person who likes the sight of blood. And so apparently these people had their throats.
Good. I'm glad he doesn't.
Their throats were cut.
Oh,
boy. But they ran through the house. And so he just said, I've never seen or even imagined how much blood we have in us that goes everywhere.
Okay, let me just tangent off one more time, sure, Dave, and just say, once again, Canadian Blood Services is looking for blood right now. You might not think you have enough blood to give.
Yeah.
As Dave's story has just told you, mm-hmm. You do.
So what you're saying,
you got plenty in you.
If those drug lord assassins, yeah, had been thoughtful, they would have put them in the bathtub, put the plug in, killed them, and left the blood there for the blood services.
No, I don't think that's how it works, but let me tell you this much.
Okay.
If those folks, before they were murdered, man, yeah, this is a caustic soda-y show. This is a way darker show than our shows normally go. I'm really sorry if you guys are eating breakfast, as some of you do while listening to the show. I apologize. If they had donated blood,
yeah,
that morning...
Okay. It would have made such a mess.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It would have made at least like probably one-eighth... less mess.
1/8.
Yeah, and plus, mm-hmm, cookies.
There you go.
So one of the last things you get to eat in your life is a delicious cookie. You take that into the ghost world, and you're like, you know what they say, as ghosts, you're always tasting the last thing you ate.
Yeah.
So you got a delicious cookie on your lips for the rest of time. And clearly, it's a haunted house now, right?
Lucky
you get murdered like that in the house, that house is haunted as fuck, as they say, right? So yeah. Anyway, your brother's going in there to ghost bust.
He did not enjoy it. He just had to leave. He could not stand it. He just said, I've never seen anything so horrible. And I have to say that if someone told me, if I was a carpet appraiser, like, you know, an insurance appraiser was doing it, if someone told me, like, the people got, you know, people got killed, throats were cut, ran around the house, I would just say, you know what? The carpet's wrecked. I don't have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now, replace the carpet. Because no amount of soda water and ice or whatever is going to get all that blood out of the carpet.
Right. Now, the idea is they want to turn this house over. Is it a rental?
No, it's the people's house.
So they're going to resell this house, though? It goes on the
market? I don't know, but there's going to be heirs who
yeah, true,
didn't get the...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Once again, haunted as hell. Do not go in there. And by the way, let me also do an anti-drug thing right now,
sure,
Dave, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
Dave and I are pretty straight edge. Right now, Dave's drinking a Coca-Cola. That's about as wild as he goes. I'm drinking a bottled water right now.
It's not wild at all.
You might be asking why a bottled water. Let me tell you, and then we'll get into the anti-drug thing. Because
mm-hmm,
the sinks in our bathrooms now have become magical sinks that you run your hand under, and then a spray of warm water comes out in a big spray instead of like two taps like humans should have.
Yeah.
Boo. Anyway, those of you that are cocaine users out there, and you're like, yes, boy, I enjoy some cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And you might ask yourself, what's it hurt?
Yeah.
Think of those people in that house. That's who it hurts. So those are the people you're dealing with, people who will kill everybody down the line, yeah, all the and the importers.
Yeah.
Because one person snitched. That's where your cocaine comes from, guys. You know, and I know the iPhones, they're not the greatest, and we all know the history of... But let's just not do cocaine, eh, guys? Because that, at the very least. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Think of the children.
And also, speaking of thinking of the children, back to your reunion. So did you...
No, let's go back to... we're going to backtrack back to my other tangent, which was...
Okay.
So this guy, he's decided he's going to clean... he's going to clean up... So he starts this company for environmental cleaning... And his very first job, some old guy had died in an old age kind of residence, like a condo residence, whatever, for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd been laying in his bed for about 2 weeks, and no one knew that he was dead.
Okay.
And so they had to come in and clean him up. So the problem was, well, one was that he was decomposing.
Mm-hmm.
The other problem was that he decomposed in a waterbed. So the lining had caught all the bodily fluids. So this guy... He had never done this before, so he didn't even have, like, the real equipment. He was just kind of cowboying this. So he goes into this
Yeah.
Did I say cowboying? Cowboying it.
Yeah, that's fine.
And he...
Cowboying actually sounds like a...
Cowboying.
Quick, that sounds like a Quick Draw McGraw character. Sure. He turns into cowboying.
So he brings his sister-in-law with him. And so now
we do a remarkable amount of Quick Draw McGraw.
We do. A lot of material.
For any podcast.
And the problem with Quick Draw McGraw, and I know this because...
there's actual horses?
No,
you're why
I looked it up.
Are you a real horse or are you not?
I wanted to do a title card and I could not find any good funny images or anything I could use. It's so unfunny. It's so Hanna-Barbera, so white bread and butter down the line that there's nothing amusing.
Well, let me tangent on you, my friend, and say I found a copy of a comic that we both did called We're So Jar Volume 2.
Okay.
And in there, there's an ad, and I forget what it's for, but you drew a half horse, half man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And by God, does it ever look like BoJack Horseman?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you look at the Netflix character BoJack Horseman, and you look at this, you're just like... Hey, wait a minute here. I'm gonna put a picture of that online just so you can see. But when it comes to drawing half horse, half man, a la Quick Draw McGraw, Dave is very good at it. Back to the murder house.
Thanks. That was
guy.
He's a school horse. That was the joke there.
So he's in a water bed. First of all, it's a retirement home, and they allow them to have a water bed.
Yeah, yeah. It's obviously a swinging retirement home. If you know what I'm saying.
That does not seem like after a certain age, your bones, to me, would get too brittle.
Yeah.
It feels like that's probably what killed him, right? Was a bad wave, just came along, snappity snappity, and
that's right.
You know, you go in your sleep. That's the good thing. Yeah. But you know, after a certain point, in a certain age, you should not have a waterbed. Mm-hmm. And you know what age that is? The year 1986. That's the age. No one has a waterbed after the age 1986. Yeah. Wow, it's amazing that he still had one.
So his body had been removed by attendants. So it's just it's just the remaining remains that are there.
Okay.
And so he and his sister-in-law, they take this lining and they decide this will be the easiest way to do it. We'll just take the whole lining up out of the bed and then just transport all this fluid, all this bodily fluid, all this greasy.
Has to be waterproof. So
all this rancid.
Okay. Well, people are trying to eat their breakfast. Let's just get to the facts and not elaborate.
Then they tipped it.
Yeah.
And it came pouring out and landed on her foot.
Okay.
She was so horrified, she just dropped it,
right.
Ran and jumped out the window.
Understood.
Luckily, there was a pool. She
How
did
far
not
up
know.
Was she?
She was in the third story. She had no idea there was a pool there. She just was so horrified, she just fled.
Now here's
it was just like an animal reaction.
I've got a real question then for you.
Okay.
Okay. So this gentleman is running a ecologically sound body
Let's
disposal.
Put that in quotations.
Okay. But okay, so here's what happened. Mm-hmm. So he goes and he's removing a body during the course of
his... Well, the body's gone. He's just cleaning up from the remains.
I completely understand.
Okay.
So so over the course of this, his partner flips out, jumps out the window.
Yes.
Let's say there wasn't a pool. Three-story fall, dead. Does he then get that gig?
Yeah.
What? No, you can't get the gig. Not? You can't make your own business.
Because you can.
No, your partner falls out the window and splatters. You don't go, hey, you know who's available to pick that up?
Yeah.
Me. No.
Do you know what that's called?
Bad business.
You know what that's called?
What?
A spinoff. So.
By the way, that was my wife laughing in the background if you heard.
So then...
We had a gory week, by the way, of body fluids and many things. So the body humor
You're
goes
okay
together
with
us. Oh,
okay
lordy, let me tell you.
The other interesting story he told was this woman, she was a university professor.
This really is a caustic soda
and
show, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe I should be saving these for the show.
Yeah, you can double up.
Yeah. She went on a sabbatical. She went in, she did a year teaching in Asia. And while she was gone, her house was just locked up for the year. Now, while she was gone, her ex-husband came, broke into the house, and killed himself on her bed. Was there until she returned home.
Why is that making me laugh? I'll show you, stabbed eye. Ha ha.
So then she comes.
Wait, can I ask? Yeah. Like, okay.
Well, you can ask me. I don't know if I can answer.
You don't know.
It.
You don't know how he killed himself? Is it in an annoying way that's hard to clean?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then...
Did he ruin all her stuff? Did he, take stuff out of drawers and mess it around?
Didn't say that, but it might have, because...
Write things in her diary?
The thing was...
Change her passwords
on the internet?
The
one thing he did
internet.
That was nice is he closed the bedroom door. But what happened was, during his year laying
probably
in there...
Probably a dog. There's probably a dog.
the guy said when they moved him from the bed, yeah. You could see like all the, like his hair was you could still see the imprint of it in the sheets of the bed.
Yeah.
Because he'd just been laying there for so long.
Right.
And
guys, we've all been there though, right? You know, you stay on the couch too long, that happens.
It was this incredible like 3 foot deep ecological like nightmare of bugs and stuff like that. This all these carcasses and
hi everybody. Let me apologize again for this episode.
It was
we're getting right up to our anniversary episode, and we're just again though, caustic soda does quite good business. So yeah. maybe this is what people want.
Sure.
Maybe we have found our hook.
We found our hook finally. Stealing their bit. So yeah, it was interesting though. And what was curious to me was this guy, you know, had a successful business. And then he sold it, and I think he sold it for good money. And he started up a company that was going to take care of, like, because remember, this is about maybe over 10 years ago, I think. Yeah, about 10 or 12 years ago that I was reading this. And remember that time everyone was scared. Everyone was scared of, like, the hot spot. There was
no,
books like
you're
that,
only
remember?
Scared of ghosts.
You're only
That's
scared
the
of
only
ghosts.
Thing that people are scared of.
So, how about can you be scared of the dark?
Nope.
No?
No, you're scared of ghosts.
I'm scared of ghosts.
Yeah.
So he...
I'm scared of the dark, but I'm a scared of ghosts.
Do you remember like? Do you remember when everyone was afraid of
killer bees?
No,
Bigfoot.
Ebola coming over here? Like movies
you
like
mean
Outbreak?
Yesterday? Everyone's
but
afraid
here's
of Ebola
thing.
Now.
No, right? Now, but this is 12 years ago.
Right, it's made a comeback.
The guy sold the company.
Yeah.
And he was going to start a different company whose job was to be like to take care of these outbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume he thought that like North America was going to become some sort of...
Well, he was inspired by the movie Outbreak.
Outbreak, yeah. And there's another one, right? With there was two that came out around that time.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember the other one. Outbreak was with Dustin Hoffman, right?
Outbreak was the one... I know there was the monkey. The monkey's in it.
There's a monkey, but then there's a guy in the theater sneezing. Remember, it was like slow motion. You see all the snot like kind of like spraying out through his nose out into the air into all the other people in the theater with him.
Okay, let me just tell you.
That's Outbreak.
Let me tell you one quick mucus movie thing, and then I'm going to get off this, and I'll turn it back to you.
Okay.
I made the mistake yesterday of because we get credits sometimes on our cable, and we can get free movies.
Okay.
So I decide what the heck I'm going to watch Transformers for.
Wow.
It's basically like the movie The Happening, except instead of running from wind, he's running from robots.
Okay.
But aside from that, very similar film.
Okay.
It's a lot of actors that should know better wandering around saying horrible things in big sweeping landscape shots, and then CGI nonsense happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one scene where they're in an alien ship. It's an alien ship,
okay.
And it looks like the alien ship has imprisoned different aliens from around the world.
Okay.
And one of the good guys, this is one of the good guys, goes up to like an alien who's caged. And the alien's kind of ugly looking. He goes, "You're an ugly looking guy, aren't you?" And then the thing like spits on, like mucus on him, right? Spits mucus on him. He's like, "Oh, acid, I'm being burned, I've been burned." And it's like, "Ah, no, it's just snot." And then he shoots the alien dead. He shoots it dead. You know, you're too ugly to live. And that's the good guy. And that's the point where I just went, movie, we are done. We are done. I was watching it because former guest of the show, Shane McCarthy, one of the characters he created for the Transformers line is in it, and that is Drift.
Drift,
And he is the Japanese robot from the Japanese planet of space where there's Japanese, and where they talk about haikus, because they're space haikus, and that's why... Come on, man! What are you doing? And they also, they also put him in yellow face, which... No other robot has a yellow face except for the one Japanese guy, and it's just, come on now. Anyway, seriously, everyone's a stereotype.
Was there a car wax on, wax off joke?
You know
with
what?
The Japanese?
I watched an hour and a half, and I didn't watch the next hour and a half,
okay.
So maybe there is.
Okay.
It'll depend how bored I am tonight, but I think I'm done. I think I'm done with the film.
Yeah, that sounds kind of terrible.
It really is terrible. Okay, mucus. We got to pull ourselves back to
body fluids.
Back
to grad reunion.
Okay.
So yeah, so I don't know how we ended up on that, but anyway, so I volunteered to make badges for it.
We have gone. We never go all this way back. Good for us. This is like Memento.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. All right.
And it's momentous that we keep going back so far. So
meh. Go ahead.
What?
I'm sorry, the Roadrunner just ran by.
Meh, meh. Yeah. And
that's the Roadrunner's teenage son. Meh, meh. Just doesn't care.
When the nice thing about making the badges is that you see everyone's face a lot,
Right. And you can draw sexy bodies underneath.
All your, yeah. All your, and so when you get to the grad, a lot of them are familiar to you because mm-hmm. you've been looking at their faces. But I've got to say that this was the most change so far. Like the 10th, whatever. I didn't really actually go to my 10th reunion because who wants to go to your 10th reunion? But 20th.
Apparently I did. 25th. Apparently you didn't.
Yeah.
But you went to your 20th.
Yeah.
I didn't go to mine because I didn't care about that.
More important, 20th. 20th, 25th. People were still, you know, relatively, we're still in our 40s, early 40s.
Sure.
Maybe not quite 40 for the 20th. Then this one, lots more change. Like this was harder to recognize people than it was before.
Is there balding going on?
Well, there's always been balding going on.
Yeah.
There's balding from the get-go. But by the time you get to the 20th, you know, it's kind of balding and getting heavy.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the 30th, it's just whatever. Some people let themselves go a lot. Others haven't. Mm-hmm. You know, so
more mustaches now that's the trend.
I don't. Are mustaches a trend with young people? I mean, with older people? I thought it was just with young people.
I think mustaches. Well, whatever's a trend with young people is a trend for the older people who'd rather be young people.
Okay. Well, I'd have to say no. There were some people with mustaches, but I feel like that's them, and they've never not been that way.
Oh, okay.
So, they just. The mustache is the thing.
Oh, that's holding on to the mustache during the lean years.
Why not?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Maybe they get ready for Movember.
Proud of them. So some people are worried about their grad reunion. They're worried about what people will think of them.
Right.
How that they'll, you know, who they'll know there, if they'll know someone, if they'll be standing in a corner all night by themselves.
Right.
All I was worried about was these stupid fucking badges that I'd somehow missed a page of them. And then even though I'd gone through three times, I was so angsty about it. I had a sore stomach driving in to the grad reunion, just totally worrying about these badges, which was no worry at all. They're fine, but I just, for whatever reason, it's typical. I just can't help
myself. Like halfway through the grad the reunion, someone goes, "Who screwed up these badges?" It was Dedrick.
That's right.
Get him! And then you get an old-fashioned high school beatdown.
Yep. Way to go, Dedrick.
Yep.
Yeah, heard that enough.
More like David Dumdrick.
Dead Dick. What was interesting, though, at the grad reunion is the thing people say. I don't know if people realize that they're being depressing when they tell you this, because you meet them and they'll be like, "Hey, Dave, how's it going?" and stuff like that. And you go, "Hey, I'm fine." Blah, blah, blah. And they go, "Man, we always thought that you were going to be so talented." Uh-huh. Wait a second. Why is that in the past tense? I'm kind of talented. Like, I'm not going to put myself up there with, you know, greats, but I'm pretty good. Like, what? Yeah, we just thought you're going to be like something, you know.
So, okay, now say you're that person. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's landing? Do you think that they're thinking we're complimenting you? Do you think they're saying we're disappointed in you?
Yeah.
I
think it is sort of a disappointment.
Okay, so you're that person. Why are you saying that? Like, what would bring you to say that about a person? Like, the only thing I could see that would make someone say that is if you started it. With just like, no one ever thought I was good.
Yeah.
Then people would say, no, we all thought you were going to be great. Like, I could see that.
I think
that.
There was a little bit of that to it. I shouldn't say that. I don't think they're thinking of themselves as being negative. I think to them, they were saying how much they thought of me at that time.
Right.
You know, like, they don't see me very much now, so obviously I'm not really in their thoughts. But at that time, you know, I was that person.
Also,
always drawing.
If they say, you're always in our thoughts, you're in a bad state.
Bad state.
Something's gone horribly wrong to be always in someone's thoughts.
That's right. So
unless you're a telepath. That's the only good way to always be in someone's thoughts.
Then no one wants that. No one else wants that, though.
No. If we learned anything from The Girl with Something Extra, no one wants that.
I don't know that.
Too. Well, let me tell you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. It's your old reference of the week. You all might be thinking like, hey, was that a movie or something? No, folks. That was an ABC sitcom called The Girl with Something Extra. And the deal with her was she had ESP. And that was her little something extra. And she was dating a man. I believe she might even be married. And she would hear his thoughts and get mad at him for what he was thinking. And all I could think was, that's terrible. What a horrible relationship. If you got ESP, you got to cut the world all the slack in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was called The Girl with Something Extra. Look it up on YouTube. It's a real thing. Back to Dave Dedrick. Playing the hits.
Over here. So that was kind of...
All the hits of grad 84.
You get things like, you know, you would always be drawing in class. I remember that. Every day you had your... Which is true. I mean, I didn't really take notes. I just took doodles with my notes.
Yeah.
Very important learning technique that I had.
Nothing wrong with doodling.
The doodle.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. No, I have no. I'm not going to. I'm not going to apologize.
Dave, doodling,
for my doodling
was very respected then. There was a whole doodle art movement. There's a whole based on that.
Yes, the doodle art movement that no one ever finished.
How could you? Your markers would dry up. Exactly. That's how they made all their things. Like, this
markers.
Is so. This is so inexpensive. This
your
product.
Five colors.
Yeah, and then like your markers dry up because they're only human. And you got a tenth of your doodle art done, and you got to do the rest of your hippie crap, and then you fill that out. Boy,
I had the traffic jam one.
Okay, I can't specifically. I can pull the girl with something extra out of midair, but I can't remember specific doodle art.
Oh, come on,
Dave.
There's butterflies.
Let me tell you, you better be very careful with what you're talking about right now,
because
you have to do title cards now. As it is, so far you're going to have to draw the sneaky dragon. Dissolved into a waterbed in a horrible, grotesque CSI thing. But if you start talking doodle art, then you're going to have to do a doodle art one, and that's going to take you 2 days. So I'm just saying, watch what you say right now.
Doodle art. It's fun.
Okay.
But what was weird about that was you would think you'd start off, you'd be like, I'm going to make this so colorful, it's going to just blow people's minds. And then you'd realize there's only five colors with the felts of this thing.
Yep.
This is a really repetitive color scheme I've got going here. It's not. It's all light
Maybe
blue.
Maybe you can blend some of the colors together.
It's mostly light blue.
You know, blue and yellow make green.
They're felt.
They still make green.
Do they? Do they really make a...
Yeah, but again, you're going to run out.
That's a lot of work.
Basically, what you got to do with those, to me, forget the markers. Put those away.
Yeah.
Get yourself a set of Laurentian color pencils.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to get there? You're going to get inexpensive consistency. Yes. And now you've run out of your red... Go buy yourself another pack.
Yeah.
Life goes on. And now you're not going to have one of those doodle arts that's multiple different colors of red all over. And then what are you going to do with the doodle art? I'm going to hang it on my ceiling. Ugh. You know, it's going to give you nightmares.
I like that you said Laurentian because I think that's only in Canada, the Laurentian.
Yeah, that's a big part of back to school is going out and getting your Laurentian pencil.
They had that great drawing on the cover of the house in the snow. And
yeah, you had to try drawing that yourself?
Yeah, you're right. You did.
There you go. I can draw the Laurentian house in snow and draw the sneaky dragon dead in the snow. There. Bang. Title card done.
So I do think that my effort, the show before the grad reunion, to hype myself up for it worked. And that I went in with a good deal of confidence.
Well, you had your...
It didn't take very long for it to diminish, but I went in with it.
Yeah, you had your James Brown shawl.
My cape?
Yeah, your cape on.
Yeah, I
guess it's not a shawl.
It's not a shawl.
In the later years, it was a shawl.
Maybe you wore a shawl
just
later
a little
on.
Cold. Yeah. Put another cape on. And but
pushed it a rocking chair for him and gave him a shawl.
Yeah. Well, just say you had your cape on.
He's the hardest rocking man in showbiz.
It looked like you were going to leave. You got on one knee and they covered you with the cape.
That's right.
And then you just flung the cape off.
And stayed.
And then you told another story about, you said, tell me another story of how you thought I was going to be great.
And wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly reminds me of when... the 20th, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but anyway, the 20th reunion, this guy came.
We haven't been doing this show for 10 years, so don't worry about it.
He was there for about 5 minutes, it seemed like to me.
Okay.
He came in, went up to me. He
said, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Asked me,
I'm outie. And then left. And he went, who is that guy? I don't know, but he had something he really needed to get off his chest.
This is what he had to get off his chest. He comes up to me, says, what do you do for a living? I told him, he said, I knew it. I knew you would do a job you hated. And I thought, he's right. What a bastard.
Okay.
But he was
what
right.
What was he thinking?
I don't know. I think he just thought...
Is he trying to justify his own life?
I think so.
I think that might be a bit of that with those folks. That's a weird thing to say.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he was right. He read my character pretty well, I guess. What a guy.
Okay. All right.
What's wrong? You seem kind of depressed.
Well, that's a depressing thing to hear someone say.
But it was true.
It's like a Stephen King fucking book. It's like someone comes up and like points a finger of a curse thing and just like, you know... The only thing that would be worse if you had a friend next to him and like, I told you Dedrick wouldn't make anything of himself, and then he hands him a dollar, and then they high five each other and then get in their limo and drive off. That would be the only thing.
It's more like that. Then this is, you know, anyway, it's pretty early on for cell phones, but he had a cell phone. His cell phone rang. It was the babysitter. Then he and his wife had to leave to look after the kids.
They were having a three-way with the babysitter.
I hope so. God, if you're acting like that at a reunion, I hope you have something. But anyway, yeah, he left. And
wow.
Yeah.
Good for him. Listen, if it's anyone who's listening to this podcast, what? I'd be curious. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would love to ask people. Like, if I was just there, that's the kind of thing I actually do ask people sometimes. If someone says something like that, I will stop them and just go like, what did you think you just said? What were you thinking when you just said that? Like, what reaction did you expect? Because there's no positive reaction you can get from this.
There's not.
You know, there's no, you know, we always thought you were going to make something of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that vote of confidence.
Yeah. Well, I did, in a way.
You did, absolutely. Sorry, let's get out the family photos and all this, that, and the other. And
yeah.
You know, you got family, friends, and, you know, people travel from the world to come to visit you. That happens.
Yeah.
You know? Damn it. I don't have to pump up your brakes, do I? Do people pump up brakes? I couldn't think of how to do it.
Pump up the tires.
I don't know. Butter your toast? I don't know what I have to do. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about.
I like butter toast.
Yeah. Exactly. You're doing, you know, you got your own podcast where you're talking about dead people in waterbeds.
Yes.
Buddy, you've made it.
I made it. There's no further to go.
You're gonna make it after. This is the sad thing whenever I see sitcoms. Mm. And like, especially sitcoms from the 70s and 80s, and almost all the opening songs are just like, you're gonna make it, you're gonna succeed, things are gonna be great, but they fucking never are. The end. Unless, of course, you know, your series goes so long that they have that one episode at the end where everyone wins the fucking lottery. Oh. But for the most part, no.
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley, things do not work out for Laverne and Shirley. Shirley wanders off. She gets married to someone, but they don't really keep in touch. And Laverne's house is haunted by ghosts.
Really?
Yeah, that was kind of... I think that was the final episode, was one where her house was haunted by the ghosts of Olympians that never finished the Olympics. So they all had to... They got possessed by the ghosts, and they ran Olympic events in the living room. I think that was the last episode.
You're joking.
That was back when Laverne was the only one left, because Shirley had left.
Yeah.
Squiggy had left. Like, yeah. Squiggy stayed.
Yeah.
You know, Michael McKean left.
So Lenny
and
left.
So it was just Squiggy.
Yeah.
And some hangers on.
Yeah.
And a girl and a woman whose joke was she had big boobs. And they all ran around the living room through an obstacle course, and the ghosts possessed them, and they played Chariots of Fire theme song. Doesn't make any sense because of the era. And that, I think, was the final episode. So they did not make it. Things did not work out great. And when you look at the Mary Tyler Moore Show, things not so hot for Mary.
Yeah, that's right.
And Rhoda, not great.
The station gets, doesn't the station get closed down or something?
Absolutely.
Like that?
And then, like, how's Rhoda doing? Well, Rhoda goes through a lot of divorces in her show, and things don't really go great.
Yeah.
And then they have, like, a reunion show with Mary and Rhoda, and I think both their husbands are dead. Yeah. And they're kind of bummed out. And then
their faces didn't move. So it was
hard to tell. That was very Botoxed.
It was hard to tell what was happening.
And things didn't work out great for them either. So it's bad. So almost all the sitcoms that start with a gonna make it, things are gonna sunshine and roses, but we're gonna hope and things didn't work out and we're gone.
How do we end up at this talk?
Only one path, it's to the grave.
Is this where grad reunion talk takes you, to the grave?
It really can.
It really
because,
can.
You know, you're going to go back in like 10 more years. There's going to be less of you, especially with the reunion slayer.
Yeah.
Still hasn't been caught.
Sure.
That guy murders three people each one of those reunions.
Yeah. Thanks, guy.
Yeah, what the heck?
The hell's wrong with him?
You know what about that car? I thought that car was going to do more with its life.
I think it was a motorcycle, but yeah. You thought it was going to be more. You thought the motorcycle was going to be a car.
Did you actually meet some people that you were glad to see, though?
Oh yeah, tons.
Yeah, it seemed like you were having some happy pictures with people.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, and it was fun, and people I didn't even know before I made friends with there. So it was
fun.
Oh,
that's neat.
Yeah.
To have high school friends that you didn't even know in high school.
Yeah, because, well, like, you know, high school was really big. I was an outsider. I was a fringe person. I shouldn't say I was completely outside. I sort of put myself
outside.
Were
you pony boy?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
That's from S.C. Hinton's The Outsiders.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but I don't know what it means.
Okay.
It's a book you read, but you didn't understand what the hell was going on in it, right?
Well, I just got to say this, Dave.
Made no sense to me.
Stay gold.
Okay, thanks. Stay golden.
No, stay gold.
Is it stay gold? I thought it was stay golden.
Stay gold, pony boy. I think that's the saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I'd have to go to their high school reunion. That'd be a good high school reunion to go to.
The Sox and
the Outsiders.
Now, is it the Soch or is it the Sox?
Dude, I don't know. Whatever you said in your own head.
I can never figure it out.
Yeah. And then there was a sequel to that, and things didn't go great with Pony Boy. What's wrong? Don't ever have the sequel.
There's a weird thing, like, reading that book, because it was so not anything I knew. I had no, like, images that made any sense in that book. Like, I read it, and I enjoyed it.
But what a twist ending when you find out that the author's a woman.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun!
I read all her books. At the time.
She had more books?
Oh, yeah, Tex, and that was Then This Is Now, and Rumblefish, and some other ones I can't remember.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Is she still writing books?
I think she's still alive. I don't know if she's still writing. She's very into horses, apparently.
I should write her and just say that we all thought that she would do more after that.
That's right. I thought you'd do more.
Yeah.
With all that high school reading required reading money that you got.
Man, that's sweet.
That's sweet.
When you get into that.
My God. Oh, yeah. That's nice. Because those books, everyone loses them.
Yeah.
No matter how hard the teacher makes it for you, you have to sign it out. Put your name down, all that stuff.
What's the name of the woman that wrote To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, Scout.
Yeah, Scout wrote it. That's what it was. But yeah, that was
for the win.
Yeah, that was the only book that she wrote.
Oh my God, why can't I can't remember her name?
I know, that's a bit disappointing. But then she wrote it, and then she just went, "I'm out, motherfuckers," and that was it. She went, "I wrote." That was it. No, she wrote that on the back of her book. Whenever she would. Harper Lee.
Harper Lee.
She would sign a book, she would write, "I'm out, motherfuckers."
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I don't think it's the greatest thing to write
partly
on a book.
Partly that, and partly, supposedly, Truman Capote gave her a lot of help writing it, so.
Well,
that may also explain why only one was.
Possibly.
And she only had one story to tell, because it was based in her own life, own experience.
Right.
Truman Capote is a character in it, so, as one of the kids, she knew him growing up and so... You know, maybe she just had that one sort of Romana Clef, the story of her own upbringing to
possibly.
Tell. And this
you only dress up as a ham once.
So, you know, it only works once.
Yeah.
You can't have a sequel.
You really can't. Ooh.
To Kill a Mockingbird 2.
Now, yeah,
this time it's personal.
This time it's Boo.
This time it's Boo.
Yeah. I think Boo could go out and just start, you know, being some vigilante work. Gets a taste for it. That old rescuing her when she is in her ham problems. Yeah, no, I like that idea. Speaking of authors, Dave.
Yes.
Let me throw a plug out right now.
Okay.
If you're listening to this on Saturday and it's the afternoon and you live in Vancouver, you can still make it to a show that I'm doing called Write Club. That is going to be happening October 11th at 7 p.m. at Little Mountain Gallery in Vancouver. Here's how it works. Okay. Audience members dress up as their favorite author. We bring them on stage and we recreate scenes in the style of that author to see who is the greatest writer of all time.
Let me just say that you don't incorporate that person dressed as their favorite author into the
will question them off the top about things about how they write, things that they would write about for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you do not get dragged on stage. You do not have to be on stage. And the greatest author of all time, whoever that is, will win a prize.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We got a really good cast this time around. So if you are listening to this in the afternoon, please come on down and see that. It's probably our second soft opening show. We're always doing shows when other stuff is going on in town.
Okay.
So you know, there it's going to be like a, but it's going to be a fun show, and hopefully, some people will show up to it, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
I'll be hosting.
Good. I went last time; it was really good. So
thank you.
Will be there again.
Yay.
Perhaps dress as an author.
Oh, please dress as an author.
So
man, I want you dressed as Jane Austen so badly.
that's hard to do. I can't seem to find an Empire or Regency era dress that fits me.
Okay, this is
I have a pretty wide shoulders, you know, and I'm kind of a big upper torso.
Okay, so if those of you have a Regency outfit that you think is Dave's size, please let us know. And yes. Dave will if someone sends you an outfit that's the right size, will you wear it to the next Write Club?
Of course I would.
All right, sounds good.
Last thing about the grad reunion before we move on.
That's okay. We're getting to our hour, so you know this is all fine.
It was kind of funny because the end of the evening, it was kind of mooted that some of us would go for drinks after. I obviously don't drink, but you know, I enjoy a party. I enjoy talking, so I was like, let's carry on the conviviality, like, you know, and some other thing.
Yeah.
So they were all going to go to the pub, but I was helping one of my friends. Her daughter was picking her up, and her daughter was lost. And so I became the phone liaison between the two of them, explaining to her daughter how to find this hotel where we were.
Now, you have done this before with your own daughters. I have seen you talk your daughters, who are lost, to safety.
Yes, I have done that. That's true.
You have done the daddy OnStar thing.
Yes. That's interesting because, yeah, she actually asked to speak to me. Maybe she just felt like, I need a dad at this moment.
Yep.
Mom, you're fine. Love you to death. But in this instance, I need some dad help. Because I know Langley, and that's where the reunion was. And so, and I knew that she had gone too far by where she was describing. And so I was able to
give her directions. Much like your friends had gone too far with the things they were discussing with you.
That's right.
You were well acquainted with going too far by that point.
And I was able to get her back around and to find the hotel. And I had some laughs. So I was joking around with her and having some fun. And then
Really mean jokes about her mom.
No.
Who was there?
Well, kind of. And then, we're friends, so it's okay.
Sure, it makes it okay to joke about them
sure,
to their kids.
Of course it is. And then they left, and then I thought, well, I'm going to go down and join my friends. Mm. And then the pub was locked, because it was past hours. And I thought, well, I could bang on the door, and maybe someone will let me in, or I could just go home. So I just went home.
Because you like home.
And that was the end of the night.
Yeah, you were pub locked.
And I was kind of hyped up when I got home. And I should have worked on the title card for a while, but I wasn't that hyped up. Instead, I read for a while, and then I went to bed.
Wild man.
Yeah.
Wild man.
You just need somebody to calm down.
Woo! Man, I'm bouncing off the walls. What am I going to do? I'm going to read a book, well, get a glass of warm milk.
How else do you calm
pet
down?
Pet the dog, take a snooze.
You need to kind of like
woo!
Chill.
Party.
It doesn't make sense to come home and then put on Dance Revolution.
Hey, Dave, you coming to the pub? You bet I am. Oh, the door's locked. It's too hard. Okay, slippers and a glass of milk and a nice book and in front of
you've
the
described
fire.
It. You described it perfectly.
I'm going to watch things on my DVR that I haven't had time for now.
That's true. I still haven't seen Last Week Tonight. So speaking of books and speaking of Write Club, I was thinking today at work while I was bored. I came up with a list of 5 films that are better than the book they're based on.
Wow. So should we ask someone to ask us that question? No, we've said no list. Just give me the 5. Give me the 5.
Okay, these are the 5 that I thought
5
of.
5 films that are better than the book. Yeah. Better than the book that they're based on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So here's I'll give you my list.
Okay.
So first one's Fight Club.
Okay, though you don't like any other Fincher.
I don't like any of the other David Fincher film, but that film is remarkably good.
Okay.
A really great film, and it's much better than the book. The book, to me, is
controversial.
Not...
Controversial thing to say. A lot of people love the book.
Okay, I'm fine.
Crazy for
That's
the book.
Fine with fun. But the book is not as dynamic as the film. The film really punches you in the gut. Mm. The book is really too kind of laid back and sort of lumpen to didn't thrill me. It might be that I did read it after I saw the film, so that may have affected it as well. Because
okay.
But I really liked that movie so much that I went and bought a couple of that author's books. And then I didn't like them that much.
Okay.
The other one is A Clockwork Orange. I think the film does a better job at creating this kind of situation where you feel a love and hate for the character and that you're really rooting for him, even though he's doing terrible things. And then also wisely, although I know that the American edition of the novel did this already, it wisely, because Kubrick was living in England at the time, so he could have done it, but he wisely leaves off the last chapter of Burgess's original book.
Which is?
In the novel.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, everybody. In the original novel, there's an extra chapter and it involves, Alex going out to behave like a droog, to go out and do his nightly things again, rape and pillage and murder. But when he gets out there, he just realizes that he's not that into it. And he doesn't feel like doing it at all. And just, it's kind of lost its interest for him. And it's time just to move on in life and et cetera. Now, the problem with that ending for me, which is kind of realistic, I can see why he put it there because, you know, that's what can happen, you know, to teenagers or people who are juvenile delinquents. Eventually, they're going to reach a point where maybe it's no fun anymore.
Meh.
And rather than slip into like a life of petty crime, they just sort of clean up and go to school and move on with their lives, you know. But the movie it really hits home with that the final ending where he sort of has Beethoven playing and he's imagining. He's this kind of Roman Empire or emperor or something. And, you know, it's just this great kind of final orgiastic, nude, violent image that ends the film. And I feel like, you know, that's for a movie that's about essentially about freedom of choice, freedom, you know, free will, your freedom to choose good or bad. The fact that we have to accept him as he is, as a bad person, you know, we have to accept that because that's who he is. We can punish him for it. But we can't make him into something we want. You know what I mean?
Well, it's an interesting film to me in that I don't know if we're on his side, but we're thinking the things that are happening to him are worse then
it's a very hard thing, because when you have a sympathetic narrator, even though they're doing terrible things, it's hard for you not to be sympathetic to what they're doing, you know, to their to what's happening to them, you know.
Well, I mean, it's
so when they go to jail, you're like, oh, poor guys. When really, that's what should happen to him.
Yeah, you know? I got no problem with him being put in prison, but when he's being, you know, brainwashed and all this mm-hmm. other stuff, mm-hmm. yeah, it's like. I mean, to me, the message of the film is, what's freedom worth? And it's like, what if we take away freedom, but we're defeating evil?
Yeah.
Is that a fair trade? Because we've taken away his freedom. He's not evil anymore, but we've completely we've taken away the freedom. Is that right? Yeah. And almost everyone's instinct watching that is no. Yeah. And that's an interesting thing, because your gut reaction would be, well, of course you can take away every freedom of someone who's done these kind of despicable acts, and they set him up like off the top that for sure everything that's horrible in the world is in this person, but he still deserves to be himself, right?
Yeah.
Yes. He should be in prison, but he should be himself. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of an interesting message in that.
It is interesting, yeah. Okay, the other one.
And man, that movie starts with great music, eh?
Oh, it's
like,
fantastic.
Oh, boy. Like, that hits the mood like, boom, here's your movie.
Yeah.
Like, boom, we're in. And it's nice that, again, it ends with music. The music in it is outstanding. It's
really revolutionary, because it was like the first Moog, a use of Moog to...
What is Moog?
The synthesizer.
Okay, it sounds like a word from the book.
Yeah, it's true, it does.
Me and my Moogs
Me
went
and my
out.
Moogs with our droogs. It was Wendy Carlos did... I think she had a programmer with her, but yeah, that together they did this. Well, first she did an album called Switched on Bach, mm-hmm. which was Moog versions of Bach.
Right.
And then I guess Kubrick really liked it, so he brought her in to do... Actually, at that time, it was Walter Carlos. He later had a sex change. But when he brought her in, you know, he wanted that... Yeah, he wanted that kind of... he wanted like a mechanical, organic sense. It's like the name of you get in the Burgess book, the Clockwork Orange is actually referenced as, you know, taking someone's free will. You're taking this organic thing and making it mechanical.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the idea of what a Clockwork Orange is. And so I like the idea that he takes a sort of organic classical music and makes it mechanical. And then, oh yeah, it's also a really fantastic score, particularly that scene where he's having sex with the two girls where he meets in the record store to Beethoven. That's fantastic. Anyway, good film. Okay.
You ever wonder what it'd be like to just take Beethoven, bring him to the future, and show him that movie? Huh? How do you like that? Your music's in a movie. Huh? And then put him back.
What's weird is I'm not a big Kubrick fan, but my other film is The Shining, which I think is... The film is better than the book. I think, to me, the film is much more successful at what it's...
Stephen
the story
King
it's
would
telling.
Radically disagree with
well,
you.
That's fine.
He hated that version.
That's fine. And I, when I first saw it, I didn't like it either.
Really?
Well, because I had just read the book, and then I wanted to see the film, so my dad was kind enough to take me to a restricted film that he wasn't that interested in, so I could watch it.
Oh, and it's good dad work.
Yeah, but I was kind of disappointed by it because it did not slavishly follow the book.
Okay.
However, I have seen the film that slavishly follows the book, and
that's
it is a rough piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because the book, sorry to say this to people who are big Stephen King fans, it's not that great a book. It's a great book when you're grade 8.
It's about when I read it, yeah.
Sure. Later on in life, when you try it again, it is not that great. So I just think that what Kubrick did is made something that's timeless, unlike the original Shining, which is...
So this is two Kubricks in a row.
Yes, I know. For someone who doesn't really like them very much. I don't think he was successful with Lolita. I think Lolita by Nabokov is way better than the film.
Interesting.
And I would say the same about Barry Lyndon, the original version by Thackeray.
Very controversial things in the very last few minutes of our show. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the next one...
I think you've just inspired many questions for next week's episode.
The next one
Are we number two?
No, we've done three.
That's what I mean. So are we number two now?
Okay, number two. I'm just going down the list. I started
off with number one.
There's no specific thing.
All right, so we're
These are just popped into my head while I was working. The next one is The Prisoner of Azkaban, the film. I think the film is actually better than the novel.
Now, that's the third film?
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think...
The third film is definitely the best film in the series.
It's definitely the best film in the series. And the reason
Head and shoulders.
And the reason it is it does not slavishly follow the book. It actually makes some interesting changes, particularly in the final time travel sequence. When I was rereading, like after the last book came out, I decided, and I read it, then I decided it would be fun to reread all the books in a row, just in one time.
Right.
Instead of waiting for 5 years in between and stuff like that, I just read them
all. While your friends were waiting for you at the pub.
Whatever. They can wait.
There's a lot of cars in the parking lot. Nah, fuck it. I'm going to go home.
That's right. And so...
hot glass of tea.
And my Harry Potter. Time to read.
I'm a full-grown man.
I was actually disappointed when I got to that portion of The Prisoner of Azkaban, and I was like, oh, this is not as good as a movie. Like, they did this way better in the film. It's actually funny. and has a bit of suspense to it, whereas it was not that really well put together.
And
in
then
the
by
book.
The end of the film series, they were really slavishly following.
Well, they weren't. They went off the books
a little bit,
but in
yeah,
a bad way, rather than a good way. They went off the books in a bad way.
Maybe I think they did some stuff that
terrible.
But yeah, the third film.
Yeah.
If you're gonna like, even if people are like, I don't know about a Harry Potter movie. Wait. Watch the third film. It's its own thing. And the fact that you've got that time travel element to it that you don't even see coming, even if you've read the book, mm-hmm. you sort of forget that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, by the way, there's a time travel. Whoa, hey, third
but
act.
But it does it so
Good
much
job.
Better. It does it so much better in the film that it doesn't. Honestly, in the book, it's not that great.
Okay.
The other,
once again, very controversial.
It's Alfonso Cuarón who did that, who did Gravity.
Y tu mamá también.
Yeah. Not a great film. But the other one that's really great by him is Children of Men.
Okay.
Which the P.D. James book is okay. It's not the best, but his version of that book is also way better than the book. The one with, you know, with the Clive Owen, the children aren't being born anymore. That's a fantastic film, and I think it just compresses the book down into like the real nitty gritty.
You're not gonna like the one that I'm gonna throw out one.
Okay,
all right,
go ahead.
But I'm bringing it up again.
Sure,
I'm bringing it up again, and I don't care what you say.
Bringing it, baby.
No. Okay. I'm gonna say Scott Pilgrim. I think Scott Pilgrim the movie is better than Scott Pilgrim. The graphic novels.
I would agree with you.
I think it ends better.
Yeah.
I think it does better things with Knives Chow. I think it's more fully realized, and it's got a better message, and it's just funnier.
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go. But read the book as well.
The book is good.
The book is good. The movie is very good.
The thing that would make the movie the best film ever is if they put the prequel on at the beginning of the film and you just
the
had to watch
prequel? Yeah.
If you had to watch that before the film started, that would make the film 100 times better to me.
Interesting. Okay.
That was oversight on their part.
So when you do a screening of it, you will put that in front of it.
I would do that for sure.
Sounds good.
For sure. Because I think it makes the film richer.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw that when I saw the film. I saw it later.
I can understand if you're trying to do a mainstream movie, like the prequel is animated.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand.
But
if
they did that in Kill Bill.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Kill Bill. Kill Bill, by that point, Quentin Tarantino has enough credit that you could do whatever you want. He could open up with a music video and you'd be like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do that with a regular movie without people going, really? And I think like if you're trying to make a mainstream movie with such bizarre ideas in it, like it's a bizarre movie.
Yeah.
If you start with a couple of minutes of straight animation right off the gate,
instead
of a band rocking out. Like a band rocking out, you're like, hey, okay, mainstream audience says.
You could do that.
Of course, they marketed it wrong, and the audiences didn't come anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right.
Maybe I'm right. And the thing is, you could start with the rockin' band and then have a brief prequel and then start the film.
No, that's possible. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You don't have to.
Because they're all upset and like, why are they upset?
Exactly.
Well, this guy's a jerk. Why is he a jerk? Flashback, boom.
There you go.
That's possible.
All right. I agree with you, though. I agree with you. Okay, the next one.
Is this your final one? You said five.
This is the final one.
All right.
Which I think is kind of obvious because the book was a bit of a potboiler, which is the God.
The Bible. You're saying the Bible.
The Bible.
So
that's
you're saying
right.
the greatest story ever told
is much better
than the Bible itself.
That's right.
Okay. Well, very hot button
I'd
issue
much
there.
I'd rather watch the film The Bible, the John Huston film that has Groucho Marx playing Pilate. No, I don't think. I think it's John Wayne, actually.
Oh, wow. I was going, that's pretty impressive.
No, he plays a soldier, doesn't he? I can't remember.
I would love it.
It does have Harpo Marx in it, though.
You know who I'd love to see?
Or is that the one with him playing...
I'd love to see Groucho Marx as Abraham trying to sacrifice Harpo. And Chico is the voice of God.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be good?
What's the matter with you? And then he plays the piano.
Kill your son.
Because he did play the piano like God. If God played the piano, he would play the piano like Chico.
Is it hot in here or is it just you? Oh, I love everything about that.
So, no, I was going to say The Godfather.
The Godfather, okay.
Yeah, because the book isn't great. I felt kind of that was a bit of a cheat because, like I say, the book is a bit of a potboiler, whereas the film is like a work of art.
Mm-hmm. You
know, so,
I've still got to see the second one. But then again, you still, speaking of Bible things, still have to see the Ten Commandments.
It's true. Not that interested in those films, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I think, well, but you have studied the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and so you wouldn't be interested in seeing a dramatic interpretation of that?
No, I think it would lose the... It would lose the. It's just about the. It's about the surface, not about the meaning, and not about the import of it. You know.
Interesting. Yeah. It's got something. What I like about Ten Commandments because it's so old timey.
Yeah.
I believe it has Cecil B. DeMille come out and like does this just talking to the audience. Mm. And it's almost like this. Okay, it feels like a high school assembly, which is like,
sure.
Settle down, everybody. This is important stuff. Let's just. Let's be respectful. Here we go. And then sexy ladies are dancing and all sorts of stuff goes on. It's very, here's a little something for the dads. There you go.
Well, it's interesting. Oh,
there's a lot of violence, a lot of, it's all the stuff you want from the Bible and more.
One of the few directors to make it come out of silent films and still be directing in the sound era.
Yeah, yeah. So,
let's give him that anyway.
Holy cow. Like, here's the thing that amazes me when you, like, those directors who came from, you know, silent films, yeah, where, you know, there was a sense of scale, and you had some amazing sense of scale, you know, in a lot of old silent movies. But then you get to something like the Ten Commandments and just go, how do you direct that? It's just so huge.
Oh, they were bigger in the silent era.
I know, okay, but it's just so huge. That,
then it was cheap to have extras. You could just have unlimited craziness in those
days. You got to put, but like in Ten Commandments, you got to have them all in the right costumes.
Yeah,
you're doing the thing that you're showing.
Yeah,
like it's not an illusion of it. These yeah, people are the amount of people dressed in the way.
Well,
these
there's are, still mats,
but the wagons
like
are real wagons. Yeah. The horses are all horses. Sure. This is a real thing, man. Mm-hmm. How does everyone have lunch? How do you feed all of these people? They don't all bring their own brown bag to the desert.
Yeah,
you know, they must
I'd be
all
curious
go
to know some of the how many of them are real and how many of them are painted and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to see.
Oh, the scale, bro! Yeah. And then by the time you get to the end, there's a lot of matte paintings.
Sure,
and it's and that's fine.
I was watching a thing about mats, and they were showing like there's that scene in Gone with the Wind where all the soldiers are lying injured in the street, and she's walking through them. And they show you what the mat is there, and almost all the soldiers are painted.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. You don't notice in the film because you're not looking for movement in them. They're sick or dead or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So or injured, I should say, not really sick. They have a stomach ache. Poor guys. But it was it was interesting to see, like, they, you know, they remove the mat, and so you can see what was real and what wasn't.
Wow.
You're like, wow. It's the same with that final sequence in The Birds where it has like the burning gas station and stuff like that, and it's all matte.
Oh.
Except for the fire, is this an optical effect? It's all matte. It's all painted.
That'd be,
you're like, what the hell, man?
Let me throw a suggestion out there to documentary filmmakers.
Mm.
Hi, documentary filmmakers. If you're looking for something to do a film about mats,
there is a good documentary about it.
What's it called?
I can't remember now. Sorry. If you search for like Matt, MATTES movies or whatever, it'll come up in the...
Okay. And I'll throw another recommendation out here for a film I quite enjoyed called Harmontown. And it's Dan Harmon, who's the creator of Community.
And what book is that based on?
That book is The Book of Bad Choices.
Seems like you've gone off the topic.
The Book of...
Is this a tangent?
This is a bit of a tangent because we're talking movies.
Okay.
It's available now in some theaters, but it's also on pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
Your local pay-per-view. Okay. He's the guy who created Community, got fired, and he was doing a podcast once a week, and then once a month, and then we got fired, he started doing it once a week, and then decided to just do it every night across the country, and it's the tour.
Oh, okay.
And it's, I forget the director, I'm really sorry about that, but it's the person who did Beauty is Embarrassing. And a couple of things that I've quite liked.
Yeah.
So that's available then. You can watch a story about a guy trying to get it together, and the people who like him, and nerds, and it's good.
Hmm.
It's well worth a watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll watch it on Netflix.
When it comes out, which it shall, because everything of this director does end up on Netflix.
Yeah.
If you got patience, man, don't have to pay a lot of money to watch a lot of movies.
I have a lot of patience.
Okay. So, folks, that's bringing us near 10.
Yes.
I'm afeared.
You're afeared?
That we're almost near the end.
So you can be afeared, but not scared.
I'm a scared of ghosts, and I'm afeared we're almost near the end.
Okay.
Gotcha. We're coming to our 150th anniversary. Once again, please let Dave know what kind of pie you would like
150th
him to
episode,
make.
Everybody.
Fair enough. I stand corrected, actually.
Because we haven't been doing this for 150 years.
Sure feels that way sometimes, doesn't it?
It does.
Buddy, how many grads have we been through for this? Grad
One.
Reunions.
One.
But let Dave know what kind of pie you want him to send you in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
He will send it.
Yes.
He does a, what do? You do a blueberry, a bumbleberry, you do an apple
I don't do
pie.
Bumbleberry.
Do you do a raspberry?
I love raspberry pie very
Rhubarb,
good.
Rhubarb?
Do rhubarb?
Do you do an apple rhubarb or just a straight rhubarb?
Straight rhubarb.
Rhubarb.
I'll do a strawberry rhubarb every once in a while.
You ever do a cream pie, like a coconut cream or a banana cream
I'll
pie?
I'll do a lemon meringue.
You do a lemon meringue? That's not really a cream pie.
How about pumpkin pie?
Yeah, again, not a cream pie, but it feels like it should be a cream pie.
It seems kind of creamy.
Seems in the same family.
I don't do cream pies. I don't like coconut cream pie. I don't like nut pies. I don't like pecan pie or anything like that. I don't like raisin pie.
Got to disagree with you on the pecan pie. That's a delicious pie. I think
you
should give
really.
That a second chance.
No.
Have you ever had a chocolate pecan pie?
Yeah.
Very good.
Hmm.
Folks, let Dave know what kind of pie you want. And send us your questions. They are, you can send them to us at sneakydragon.com. That is our website. We got a message board there. Send them there.
Yep.
You can go to sneaky_dragon on Twitter. You can go to the Facebook. You can do our email, which we never remember the name of.
sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
Boom. That's exactly it. And Dave will award a random question,
yes,
a beautiful t-shirt.
That's right.
That will not be in your size. We guarantee whatever size you say, we will not send you in our size.
It will be in that size. And since we're...
Dave,
take a drink, everybody.
The building's on fire.
Take a drink, everybody. Okay. Take a drink. Just one programming. I just wanted to let Simon Green know that his shirt is on the way. I'm too disorganized to do things properly, but it left on Friday, October 3rd. So hopefully you'll get it soon. Let me know when you get it.
And I would like to let Timothy Green know that you've cut off the last of your leaves, you will die.
Okay. And I want to let Timothy Dalton know that his Bond movies weren't that great, but I enjoyed him in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. Did you like him in Doctor Who?
No.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Dave, wrap it up.
I didn't dislike him or not. I mean, he didn't have much of a role. It was okay, so whatever.
It's pretty harsh.
It's kind of a whatever.
Okay. Do you like him in... Well, he's in something now, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's in that Penny Dreadful, I think. Isn't he?
The Nick or Penny
No,
Dreadful?
He's not. You're thinking Clive Owen.
Oh, okay.
Wait.
What?
Who is it? What are we thinking?
I don't know.
Huh? folks, I'm pretty sure Timothy Dalton is in Penny Dreadful.
Okay.
All right.
You sure you're not getting him mixed up with Josh Hartnell?
Oh, am I thinking... Oh,
yeah, you're getting mixed up.
Oh, are you thinking Joss Whedon?
I'm thinking Joss Whedon, yeah.
Okay.
His brother Brad.
Oh, is that who you're thinking of?
Brad Whedon.
Okay, were you thinking Brad Garrett?
Will Whedon.
That's what I was thinking of. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, wrap it up.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to the show. I feel like you always wrap it up, so I just have like this very narrow thing to do at the
end. Yeah,
this
so you should be better at
so
it.
So basically
by this point.
What I should say is thank you for listening and... we'll see you next week for our 150th episode. We're pretty excited about it, even though it's going to be about 4 hours long.
It's going to be fine. Thank you for your kind attention.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Good.
We're out, motherfuckers.
We're out of tape.